Hello, friends. Welcome to our podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really helps us out. If you haven't done so before, go ahead and follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at Point of View Pod and on Twitter at podcast_POV. And if you're looking for a fun, positive Star Wars community to be a part of, be sure and join our Facebook group, and you can find us at A Certain Point of View Discussion Group. Thanks, and enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. One last thing before we get going with today's episode. As you know, last week was part one of our discussion on Return of the Jedi with our special guest, Drew Miller. Today is going to be part two, where we finish that discussion. For the first 20 minutes or so, Drew's mic sounds kind of weird, and I don't know what happened with this specific episode, but there are some cracks and some weird sounds coming from his mic. And so you'll notice at multiple points within the first 20 minutes or so that Drew's mic sounds really weird, and I'm not sure what happens, but at that point it clears up and it sounds great. Sorry about that, but these things happen. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy the show.
So what I told you is true. From a certain point of view.
I just want to say that I have in my notes today, and I never realized this before. I think one reason that I love the Andor stuff so much is I grew up on Swiss Family Robinson. Did you ever watch that, Drew? Did you ever watch that movie?
I feel like I have. Honestly,
it's one of those classic old Disney live action movies. It was like from the, I don't know, man, 50s or 60s. It's really, really old. But basically, this family is like, they get shipwrecked. They're on this island and they have to defend themselves at some point from pirates. And they live in this treehouse, like this giant, they build this like elaborate treehouse, like almost like in the trees, like, but there's multiple houses. It really reminds me of the Ewoks houses up in the trees.
Oh yeah.
And then even like the stuff that the Ewoks, like when they like hit the vine and the logs roll down the hill. And then like when they use, like when they use the logs to crush the AT-AT and, or not the AT-AT, but the AT-ST. They just like it crushes them. That kind of stuff is so Swiss Family Robinson. It is like, that's what these people did in that movie. And I was like, no wonder I love this part so much. It is so Swiss Family Robinson. I noticed that today for the first time. And yeah. I just had to bring that up because I love it so much. But Ben, let's go with you first. This third act, what do you love about it?
Good Lord. Okay, well, first off,
there's a lot here.
Yeah. Well, first off, I have a little bit of like a fact thing. You mentioned Endor. So actually, you were right in both ways. This is really weird. I actually just discovered this. I was reading this. Endor, also known as Tana among the Ewok species, was the cyan gas giant planet orbited by the forest moon of Endor. The name Endor was also sometimes used for the forest moon. The planet itself was less well known than the moon. So both are actually named Endor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've always, like, I used to always call it Endor as a kid. Like, mm-hmm. And then I noticed that he says the forest moon of Endor. So I thought, oh, they're just on the moon of Endor.
Yeah.
So they're but not then, on Endor. But so but I guess
at the same time that sentence is confusing because if you is. Say the forest moon of Endor, you could literally just mean like the forest moon of Endor. Like it sounds like you're describing Endor.
Endor,
you know? Like
it's a confusing thing to say.
Yeah. So it anyways, is. I looked that up just now because I was like, wait a second, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So
hey, real quick, let's do this. Because we're in this third act and there's three battles happening at the same time essentially, let's talk about one at a time. Do you want to do that?
Sure.
So like
sounds good to me.
So Ben, you can start with whichever one you want, Ben. I think we should save throne room for last, but whichever one you want, let's talk about it just one at a time.
Yeah. I want to talk about the forest for a second because so as always, I have the movie playing in the background. and whenever all of the stuff started happening on the forest, actually, a weird thing, first thing I noticed, I love the color grading on the forest moon of Endor. It is so pretty to look at. Like, the scene where Leia and, Wicket? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The scene where Leia and Wicket are together and, like, they meet is so, like, beautifully colored. And I think that this whole sequence is just, it looks really, really pleasing to the eye. It's, like, this nice, cool green. And I don't know. I really like it. I wanted to bring that up because I really appreciate it. But yeah, the whole forest thing, I love Ewoks, man. I loved Ewoks as a kid. I still love Ewoks. I think they're great. I don't care that they're a little creepy or if they're teddy bears or whatever. Don't care. Love Ewoks. They're awesome. I actually, funny thing, I used to think that they were baby Wookiees. Like, I thought that that's what, like, their lore was. And I thought that's why Chewie had such a bond with one of them. I was like, oh, he's like his father. But anyways.
Oh, kids.
We think really weird things. So, yeah, I love the whole Endor fight scene and stuff. I think that it's the special effects are also really well done. Like, I love when they have the speeder chase and Luke is still down on Endor with them. And Luke, like, pulls out his lightsaber and then cuts off the end of the speeder and then the guy flies into the tree or whatever. Like, that's such a cool thing that was just not, like... Like, that could not have been an easy shot to pull off. And I love that they just took the risk and did it because it's, like, a very modern... movie thing that you would see, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, love that. One thing I will say, and I don't know if it's like, if this is actually a thing or not, but one little critique I have, but again, this was made a long time ago. I have a lot of grace for it. The AT-STs look like they have this green, like, It looks like they have a green screen glow. You know what I mean? Like, where it almost looks like green screen is, like, reflecting off of them in some shots. But, like I said, it's not a big deal. It looks great for the most part. It's just every once in a while, I'm like, that looks a little odd. I love whenever C-3PO is mistaken as a god. I think that's hilarious.
So funny. I love that scene so much. You know what it really reminds me of is Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
Mm-hmm.
Where Jack Sparrow and the 100%. And those indigenous people. That's it really reminds me of that part quite a bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then the last thing, and it's one of my favorite things in this whole part, is actually before Luke goes to meet Vader on the Death Star, his conversation with Leia is so great.
Oh, man.
And so well done. And the actors are, like, they feed off each other so well in that scene.
I have that dialogue if you want to talk about it, because we have to talk about that scene. It's freaking good.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I'm just going to read from the part where she says, Luke, tell me what's troubling you.
Mm-hmm.
And so Luke responds, Vader's here. Now, on this moon. How do you know? I felt his presence. He's come for me. He can feel when I'm near. That's why I have to go. As long as I stay, I'm endangering the group and our mission here. I have to face him. Why? He's my father. And then she looks disgusted. And she's like, your father? There's more. And then I love this. Luke's like, oh, just wait. There's more.
I got more issues.
Yeah. He says, there's more. It won't be easy for you to hear it, but you must. If I don't make it back, you're the only hope for the Alliance. Luke, don't talk that way. You have a power I don't understand and I could never have. You're wrong, Leia. You have that power too. In time, you'll learn to use it as I have. The Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it. Yes, it's you, Leia. So good. And then she says something that's kind of weird. She says, I know. Somehow, I've always known. Okay, that's an interesting line.
Did you?
Though?
I got that's questions.
For reasons, it's interesting.
But we don't have to read past that, and we don't have to look into that line too much. God, that line, the force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. And my sister has it, is such a brilliant line and a brilliant way to tell her.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, Leia, you're my sister. Instead mm-hmm. of saying something like that, which would be fine. It's so much better this way. And I will never forget the they use that as they use that in the promo for The Last Jedi too. Do you remember that?
Yes, I was just thinking about that.
At least I don't know if they said and my sister has it, but I know they used it quite a bit. They said the force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. And then I can't remember what happens after that, but I know that they used that dialogue from that. And mm-hmm. man, it's just so powerful. God, it's so good. Honestly, this line is so good. I don't really know what to say about it. It just kind of speaks for itself for me.
Yeah.
But Drew, what are your thoughts about this line? This all this stuff right here.
I've got some very similar notes from what you two have already said about it. Her reaction to it is something that really stood out to me. First off, she's disgusted, like you said. That, mm-hmm. Oh, Vader's your father? Ew.
Yeah.
But her reaction is that of a sister. I don't have a sister, but you know, people know that I have a sister. This is like, I see that bond between them. Mm-hmm. The first thing she says is, well, you're not going to fight him. You need to run away. I won't let you fight him because I don't want you to die.
Yeah.
She has that sister, that like a protector reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke's like, Luke takes a very good Obi-Wan-esque approach to explaining this in a very wise manner, not necessarily straightforward, but in a manner that explains the gravity of the situation properly.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, like I said, it's a story of revelations, and here's a revelation that not only you're my sister, but you have force sensitivity, like,
yeah,
pretty high, you know, so which we got that tease a little bit in Empire, but I love how it dove back into it on this one. That's just, you know,
yeah,
so one thing so great they did for the character of Leia. But what happens after that dialogue always just, it makes me laugh a little bit, but it comforts me. I tricked my wife into watching Star Wars by telling her that it was centered around a love story.
So good.
Which was true from a certain point of view.
Yeah.
And she has ended up loving all the movies. She'll watch them with me. Not as often as she likes to watch Harry Potter, but at least once a year, she'll sit down and watch them all together.
That's so weird.
Yes. I've never seen them until we got married, and then I watch them. Those are fantastic movies.
Absolutely.
Wow. So I kind of tricked her into it, but I love when Han comes out. Like, Luke kind of, he runs away to go confront Vader because Leia encouraged him. Han walks on the corner. Well, what's wrong? You could tell Luke, but not me.
He's could you tell Luke? Is that who you could tell?
Yeah.
And she just, like, throws up her hands, like, I give up. And Han goes to walk away, but he's softened.
Yeah.
He's still a scoundrel. He's still that old pirate, like Hondo. Like, not Hondo. Wow, Lando. Hondo.
Oh, Freudian.
Like Lando says. He's an old pirate, you know.
Yeah.
But Han's love towards his new family, towards Leia, towards Luke even, towards, him and Lando really patch things up at this point in a significant manner. He goes back and, you know, he instead of just running away like he usually would and go, you know, party with the Ewoks, he comes back and he comforts Leia because he can tell, man, there's something big here. This isn't just jealousy between, I think, Luke wants Leia. He knows there's something there, and he goes to her. I like his reaction there, but Leia's reaction of saying, no, you're not going to fight him. I'm worried. Oh, wow, I have this power. This is too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
It shows her weakness a little bit. But once again, Leia never is, never has been, or never will be a damsel in distress. Right. She takes that information and she says, okay, I'm going to lead these assault forces on the ground because my brother has an important job up there in that Death Star. that he has to be there for. Yep. And I'm going to take care of business down here. I love Leia. Oh, man.
Yeah. She's just, but at the same time, so, she's also, she's not a damsel in distress at all. But at the same time,
never.
She, at the same time, though, she is like, she's tender. At the same time, she asks Han to hold her. Like, she's
yes.
Like, she needs to be comforted. And she's not afraid to say that. And I think that's so cool, too. You can be both. You know, you don't have to be a damsel in distress. You can be strong, but you can also be vulnerable. And I think that's one reason Leia is such a great character for women to watch as kids. I think, and that's why so many young women grew up loving Leia so much. So,
yeah.
Okay. I know what part we need to talk about. And I think it kind of is a great transition, because it's still on Endor, but it's kind of, it's between Vader and Luke. Mm-hmm. It's Vader has gone down to Endor because the Emperor has told him that Luke is just going to come to him, which is creepy. But so I have this dialogue pulled up because I've watched this movie 100 times, but yet again, this is another part where I was like, today, I was just like, God, there's so much gold here in this dialogue. So I want to read this dialogue right here. So Vader and Luke meet up. Vader says, "The Emperor has been expecting you." Mm. I know, Father. So you have accepted the truth. Oh, by the way, I love that he says, "I know, Father." Mm-hmm. I love that right out of the gate, he's accepted that he's his father. And then he says, "So you have accepted the truth. I've accepted the truth that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father. That name no longer has any meaning for me. It is the name of your true self you've only forgotten. I know there is good in you. The Emperor hasn't driven it from you fully. That is why you couldn't destroy me, and that is why you won't bring me to your Emperor now." So freaking good. I literally just reading that dialogue, picturing it in my head, talking about it on a podcast, I have goosebumps right here. Seriously.
Yeah.
It is so powerful. And what I love about this scene that I notice more and more as I watch it, Vader is pretty like, Vader is not intimidating in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Vader is, I feel his wall starting to come down a little bit. He has a soft spot for Luke, big mm-hmm. time. You know, and he's trying to convince himself. I get the sense that he's trying to convince himself that he wants to do it for the Emperor and he wants to team up with Luke. And, mm-hmm. Well, then he wants to do it. At first, he's following orders, but then he wants to overthrow the Emperor, which he tells Luke he wants to do later. But I just get the sense that, I lost my train of thought when I interrupted myself, but, which happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But I just get the sense that, like, even early in the movie, when the Emperor is talking to him and he says, "Are you sure that you're not, I don't think the dialogue's exact, but are you sure that you're not, that your feelings are not clouding your judgment here." I just kind of get the sense, even early in the movie, they're planting this in our heads that Vader is on sort of a personal mission here. Vader is, there is something, he's being drawn to Luke. And I kind of get the sense that the walls are starting to come down and you can really see it in his body language. And right after that happens and and Luke gets on the elevator to go up to meet the Emperor, it cuts back away to Vader, and Vader walks over to the edge and looks kind of out. I guess it's a window. Mm-hmm. He looks out the window. It is basically the same thing as Anakin looking out the window right before he knows what he has to do in Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's about to do. Betray the Jedi. And he looks out the window. He looks across to where Padme is. And they kind of have this moment across Coruscant from each other. That's what this reminded me of. He looks out the window. It's almost as if he thinks, like, I am about to have to do something. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that he's fully there, but he's the cracks are showing even there. And I just think this movie does a great job from the beginning of him coming to Luke, showing that I feel like we might see Anakin by the end of this movie, you know?
Yeah.
And so just kind of warming our appetites for it. And so, yeah, that's what I took from it. I freaking love this part. And this isn't even – God, there's so much meat coming up. But that's just the intro. That's just the appetizer. And, mm-hmm. oh, man. So anyway, I don't know. What do y'all think?
To tag on to what you were talking about with this scene, it once again goes back to the dialogue being the central focus, to mm-hmm. being amazing. Mm. You get caught up in looking at, man, Vader's armor is just shiny. He ignites Luke's lightsaber. I see you've constructed a new lightsaber. I was like, I like that, but it's the dialogue. When I was rewatching it, I caught myself kind of not focusing, and then I rewound it. I was like, I got to be missing something here. So I go back, and I was like, this dialogue is every bit as good as all the other stuff that I plan on talking about. Gosh, and like I said, the details, and like you said, the cracks are beginning to show in Vader's darkness. Mm-hmm. There's light shining through. He might not be to the edge yet, but he's starting to see signs that say it's coming up. Mm-hmm. And we see it too. And it's been present. Like you said, you mentioned the part where the Emperor asks, are your thoughts, you know, mm-hmm. where are your intentions of this? And he says, my thoughts are clear. They're not clear, as the narrator would say. And you're right. It's a soft spot for Luke. He's starting to feel the goodness in him that he's suppressed. He's hidden. He's ran away from it. And now his own son has came up and said, there's still good in you. And he's like, well, can't argue with that. I guess it's there. He's probably turned it away from other people and said, oh, you're still good. You're still good.
Yeah.
No, he'll just choke them. But his own son, he's starting to think it.
Yeah.
He's really starting to believe it. And the Emperor knows it too. Mm. And that's one reason the Emperor wants Luke so badly, because Luke, as a dark side user, could potentially be so much more powerful than Vader in a suit. Which makes me think, I just go back, and this is another rabbit trail. How powerful would Vader have been as a Sith without the mechanical suit and all of his functional limbs and no armor?
I mean, the Rebellion would have been crushed way before this movie.
Yeah.
It would have been over. Tagging on to the Endor stuff, because I know we're going to start going back to the space battle in the throne room. There are two quick things I want to hit just real quick.
Let's do it.
One of them is a new word I learned. Retcon.
Yeah, retcon.
Okay. Is the old guy at the bunker scene, could he possibly be Rex? At the least, at least Rex's animated old man character is modeled after this guy.
Yeah. I can't remember if, Ben, you might know, I can't remember if this is made official as official canon or not, but I know there's a lot of people who say Dave Filoni wants to make it official canon that is Rex. But I think he has another name officially in the movie, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember.
He does on Wikipedia when you look. Wikipedia, the greatest website in the world.
That's where I'm on right now. Yep.
Yes. The other thing I wanted to hit on real quick, just because that's
a rabbit.
I think
Ben's looking that up, so I think we'll...
That's a rabbit trail you could chase down for hours talking about, you know, retcon and movies.
Or maybe a Rexcon.
Ooh. Light bulb. Ooh. Another thing is, and I can't help but keep going back to Clone Wars because it's so fresh on my memory. In Season 7, whenever Ahsoka is with the Martez sisters, and they're trying to leave Coruscant, and they get into that military lane, her and Luke sense each other.
Anakin.
And it is identical. It is identical to when Luke and Vader sense each other when Luke is on Shuttle Tyderian and Vader is on his Star Destroyer.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I just love parallels like that.
It totally is. You're right.
And there's another parallel I draw. You drew Vader looking out of the window, kind of brooding. It was like a Batman moment. He was kind of brooding, sitting there. And that was, like I said, it was in episode three kind of called back to that. You could think about it. In the throne room, there's another scene I think episode three really based its actions off of that I'll get to later. That is, I love things being interwoven and tied together. It's what makes Star Wars. Another thing that's so great about Star Wars. Yeah.
Ben, did you have that information?
Yeah, it's, I mean, not technically official, but the thing is that, like, so for me, like, I mean, we know that Rex was alive for that he fought in the Battle of Endor. Like, that's something that we do learn. You will, Drew.
Yeah, don't give away too much here.
I know. Well, I mean, he already asked about this, so it's like,
yeah.
But, yeah, Dave Filoni has fueled the argument that that is Rex, even though it doesn't say that it is Rex. He says, like, he really believes that it is. And so I think whenever he wrote Rebels and stuff, he was very much envisioning, like, this is Rex now, or whatever.
Who are we to argue with?
I'm not going to argue with Dave Filoni. So
no.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I want a cowboy hat just so I can look like him. I swear.
Me too.
That and my nephew told me I need one. I don't know why.
Well, you
he
got
said it. I needed a cowboy. I got to. There's two great reasons there.
I do want to say really quick, I love Han in the Endor stuff.
Yeah.
He has turned a corner, and he is so funny to me.
He really is. He's great in this stuff.
When Luke is like, Han, be careful. And he's like, hey, it's me. The way the look in his eyes is just, it reminds me of Tim Allen in Home Improvement. Just like,
oh,
it reminds me of like, hey, I got this. It's me. And then he screws it up. That is so, it's such a funny thing. And, but I love how Han acts in this whole movie, really. He's kind of a little bit different than he has been in the other two movies. He's a little bit more likable, but I think his character has just kind of grown as he's got this family around him, you know? And as he's also found the love of a good woman.
Totally agree.
And so, yeah, and so... But, like, I love seeing that scene where Han, like, taps the shoulder of the trooper and, like, he has him chase, like, almost like they're playing tag. It's just, like, so silly.
Yeah.
But that scene was in my mind when you were talking about his humor that they let him flow with. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then I love when he, like, hot wires the blast door and then he did it wrong and it just, like, brings up one extra blast door he has to get through. And, like, all of this stuff. I love Han in this movie, and particularly on Endor, between him and Chewie. We have to give credit to Chewie for, like, I love how, like, and again, kind of like Last Jedi, you know how Chewie kind of, it's almost like he makes friends with all these creatures. He makes friends with the porgs after he decides not to eat one that he cooked. And, but then, like, and then these, the Ewoks, he's, like, swinging from vines with them, and he's like, oh! it's so funny. And then they take over the AT-ST. I love all that.
Mm-hmm.
And R2 obviously saves the day. I wanted to give everybody their due on this before we go on. But let's go on to the – you want to say the space battle? And honestly, we can kind of go between these since they're so integral to each other. Yeah, I was going to say, let's just go between them
because they're so intertwined. Yeah,
yeah they are. God, I don't even know where to start. Let's just start with the throne room where – Luke comes into where the Emperor is. And first of all, I love the intro to that where he walks in and the Emperor says, "Welcome, young Skywalker. I've been expecting you. You no longer need those." And then he takes the cuffs off of him using the Force. It's just like such a cool moment. And then he's like, "Guards, leave us." It's just so good right away. He's such a cocky SOB. He really is. And I love, you know, from the beginning he says I'm looking forward to completing your training. In time you will call me master. And Luke says, "You're gravely mistaken. You won't convert me as you did my father. Oh no, my young Jedi, you will find that it's you who is mistaken." about a great many things. I love how he says it. It's so freaking good. Ian McDiarmid in this movie is phenomenal.
Yeah,
he doesn't get enough credit. We love him so much in the prequels.
I know, he's so good. We love him so much
in the prequels. We forget how good he is in this.
Yeah, exactly. He's so good. I love Luke's response when the Emperor says, "Ah, yes, a Jedi's weapon, much like your father's. By now you must know that your father can never be turned from the dark side. So will it be with you."
Mm-hmm.
And Luke says, "You're wrong. Soon I'll be dead, and you with me." Luke,
Luke's not afraid.
You are so awesome. I love it so much. But, guys, how do you feel? Do you feel that the Emperor used the right strategy in this scene? And the reason I ask is because, you know, he's so cunning. And he's so, like, he sees everything in the future. He knows what's happening. He's, like, preordained certain things to happen. But yet, like, when he's trying to get Luke to become, to, like, go to the dark side, he consistently says things like, "Yes, yes, give in to your hate." Like,
mm-hmm.
like when every time he says something like that, or "strike me down," or like mm-hmm. stuff like that, to like, it's obvious what he's trying to do. It's too obvious. Every time he does that, Luke is like, "Oh, wait, what am I doing?" Like, every yeah. time he does that, Luke realizes what's happening, and he like comes out of it. I feel almost like if Palpatine would have been more like almost like pretended he was worried about Vader or something. I don't know. I feel like if Palpatine would have like potentially gone in a different strategy here, I feel like he could have gotten Luke to turn maybe. But he really went with the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
He underestimated Vader. Is what he did.
Yeah.
Ooh, good point. I love that.
He knew he could get Luke to turn, and like Dave Filoni said, Luke was, he was right there.
Yeah.
I got it later in my notes, a little later in my notes, but I'll jump down to it. Luke was at the edge. He was looking down into the abyss of the dark side. Mm-hmm. He was there.
Yeah.
He was 1 second away from, boom, going in there.
Yeah.
But Palpatine overestimated the darkness in Luke, which was there.
Mm.
Clearly, there was darkness in Luke. He underestimated that shred of good in Vader.
Mm-hmm.
That shred of goodness that Luke managed to bring out. He didn't take it into effect. Palpatine is, like you said, cocky. He was relying on maybe, just maybe, Luke would have enough anger just to, instead of killing Palpatine, just kill Vader, and then Luke, you know, Palpatine has a more powerful apprentice, a younger one, rather than, you know, I don't think Palpatine ever thought it would be a great idea for Luke and Vader to rule the galaxy side by side. So mm-hmm. he underestimated Vader in that instance. And it was his downfall. Basically, he got complacent, one can say.
Mm.
He just got too comfortable with Vader being his lapdog for all these years. And then Vader just had enough, I guess. Yeah. And Palpatine failed to foresee that.
Yeah.
And it was due to his pride.
I love that thought, dude.
Yeah, for sure. It's really good.
Yeah.
I put a lot of thought, majority of my thought, into some of this. the third act is just...
Dude, let's... here's the thing. Well, let's just keep talking about this, because, like, we can talk about the space battle stuff, and we can, but honestly, it's like, okay, yeah, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like we'll talk about, like, I love Lando in the space battle and all that stuff, but, like, this is the meat of this... Honestly, the trilogy, really. But, like, this is the meat of this movie. And before I go into my thoughts, I could talk so long about this scene. Ben, what do you think? Do you have any thoughts about what we just talked about or this entire throne room scene?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of my favorite hero moments of the entire saga. Mm. This is probably my favorite hero moment of the whole saga, actually. The more that we talk about it, the more I love it. I think that every part of this entire throne room scene is, like, really well designed and well written. The dialogue is well written. The way that they chose how to actually conclude it, I think, is masterfully done. I would agree with you, Michael, that I never thought for one second that Luke could just absolutely not turn. Like I've always felt like there was a possibility he could turn if the Emperor said the right things, or if Vader said the right things even.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this whole sequence is just so well done. I think that Luke in this scene is exactly what, like, he's exactly what Anakin could have been if Anakin didn't, you know, kill Mace Windu. Like, that moment was his, like, his true choice of, like, which way is he gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
And if Anakin had just, like, you know, thrown his saber or decided to pick up Palpatine then instead, you know. Yes. And I think that there's also a really powerful mirroring you could do of the fact that, you know, Anakin was watching you know, Palpatine be, like, melting himself, essentially. And then in Return of the Jedi, it was watching Luke be destroyed by this power that, like, caused him to move, you know? I think that it's all really, really cool to me. I think that this fight scene is also really well done. I think that the way that Vader talks to Luke and is like, yours. Sister, is like very, very, I don't know, like, it's a hard way to put it, but, like, you know how, like, people describe the dark side as, like, it's seductive or whatever. Yep. It's kind of in that way of, like, he's talking in this very, very, like villainous way, even though, like you said, we saw somewhat of a softer side of Vader just before this, when he was talking to Luke. And I think that the movie does a great job of showing you that Vader is kind of in the place where he's just the Emperor's puppet at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that that's very evident in this movie. He never feels like he has agency in this movie. He feels like he's doing a bunch of things he doesn't want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so I love this throne room fight. I think it has so much emotion. And I think talking with you, Michael, has made me love it even more. and... I mean, I really can't say enough good things about it. It's just so, it's masterfully crafted.
Yeah, man. I agree, obviously. You know, this is my favorite Star Wars moment of all time. Like, I think I've said that 50 zillion times. But I want, like, dude, we have to talk about the scene, you were just kind of alluding to it, where Vader is going on this really long kind of monologue. Classic villain monologue, and he says sister.
Yes.
So you have a twin sister, your feelings have now betrayed her too, all that stuff. And then he goes, if you will not turn to the dark side, then perhaps she will.
No!
Yeah, exactly. He loses it. And but before that, This is just great direction. It shows, as Vader's talking, it shows Luke in the shadows, and half of his face is dark blue and half of his face is in the light.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another thing to show us Luke could go either way here. Like,
yeah,
if he gives into his feelings, if he does what the... I mean, it really is crazy how strong Luke is, because he is going... physically going up against Vader, but he's mentally going up against Vader and Palpatine. The idea, the strength that he has to have, the inner strength, the inner goodness that he has to have, because he loses it. Like, he gives in at certain points in this fight, including when he says, if you will not turn to the dark side, then perhaps she will. He acts out completely, like, in the dark side. Like, he acts out in anger. he acts out in frustration, and he wants to kill him right there. And I have to mention, I don't know if I've really mentioned it before, but there is this shot, and I'm just kind of scrubbing and looking for it over here. Once Luke starts going nuts, once he goes, no, and he starts attacking Vader, there's this long shot of them, and it kind of like, they're on one side of these stairs, and the camera is on the other side of the stairs, and it just follows them really slowly as they are fighting. Mm-hmm. And Luke is just on the attack, Anakin or Vader is on the defense and backing up, and it's just this long shot of them fighting, and it's just such a great shot, as the music behind them is just like really somber and sad, and like, ooh, like really, yes, like it's really, John Williams of course is amazing, but man, he goes at it hard, and until he finally cuts off Vader's hand. Mm-hmm. And then he looks down at his own hand, and he sees, much like in the cave, he saw Vader he saw himself in Vader's helmet. In this, he looks at Vader's hand, then he looks at his own hand and sees, we're the same. I could become him right now. And he turns off his laser sword, throws it down. He says, never. I will never turn to the dark side. I am a Jedi, like my father before me. And goosebumps. Palpatine, I got chills again. Palpatine is like, okay. Like, so be it. And yeah, he's at that point is like, okay, I guess I just have to kill him. But that moment is my favorite Star Wars moment of all time. I could talk about it every day and get chills every time.
Like, yeah.
It is the hero's moment. It is why Luke is my favorite character. And I know it's like, it can kind of be, I don't know, it can kind of be cliche to say Luke is your favorite character, and I get why people would think that. But for me, it's about how it hits you. It's about what you connect with. And to me, not saying like I'm totally heroic like Luke, but I'm saying like when Luke does that, man,
mm-hmm,
it gets me. It gets me every single time.
Yeah.
And even while he's being attacked by Palpatine, mm-hmm, with the, you know, the what do you call it? The force electricity stuff.
Yeah.
Even while he's being attacked, and really, I mean, he can be killed here in this moment, he is still saying, he's not fighting back. He's saying, Father, please. He's trying, even in his moment of distress, he's trying to turn his father,
yeah,
back to the light. He's trying to bring Anakin back. And that, to me, is why Luke is the best character. That, to me, is why Luke, I don't know, why he's my favorite.
Yeah.
So anyway, blah blah blah. Sorry, I took so long.
You're good. That was some truth bombs right there. You were just carpet bombing it. Wow.
Any thoughts, Drew?
Yes, absolutely. Some of the stuff you said, straight out of my little note column I'm reading right here.
I love it.
Wait, do I have screen share on? What's going on here? One thing, I want to dive into a little different section here. The music.
Please.
The Emperor's spooky little...
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that theme. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, and the background the whole time. And then you got the whole battle. Auntie and him, great, you know, great moment when Luke calls for his saber and it crosses right in front of the Emperor's face and he just starts laughing.
Yep.
Because he knows he's one step closer to victory. It's like evil. Yeah. Like, just like I called it, you know.
Yep.
The whole time. They're fighting, you know, Luke's hiding in the shadows, and another line of dialogue that's in the middle of there, that it's another thing that it sent Luke over the edge. Leia is what pushed him over the edge, but what got him there was this right here. Your feelings have betrayed her too, talking about Leia. Obi-Wan was wise to hide her. His failure is complete.
Mm.
So not only you talk about my sister, but now you're talking smack on my master.
Yeah.
And we knew, albeit short, the relationship Luke and Obi-Wan had in person. Now Luke and Obi-Wan, he's one with the Force. He can still commune with Luke and help him.
Yeah.
So that started it, because we know how Vader feels about Anakin. I mean, sorry, yeah, how Vader feels about Obi-Wan. Yeah. We know. So that got Luke really going. And then, you know, he attacks Leia like that and says, well, I'll just kill you and turn harder than the dark side. Don't even worry about it. And like I said, he goes off and he cuts his hand off. And my little note here says, he looks at his hand and he sees how much in common he and his father have. And he knows at the same time the good in his father is greater than the darkness inside him. The only thing that separates Luke and Vader is their choices.
Shoot!
As far as their powers, you talk Prime Young Anakin, Prime Young Vader, pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously their combat style and things like that are different, but what separates them was their choices. And you, Ben, you paralleled how this is very similar to Revenge of the Sith, where Anakin's sitting there watching the lightning battle between Mace Windu and the Emperor. Now, all these years later, he's in the same boat again, watching a lightning battle between his son and the Emperor, and he has to make a choice right then and there. And I paralleled that. I was like, man, even like you see Anakin kind of like look back and forth between Master Windu and Palpatine, like, what do I do? And in the same instance, you see him look between Luke and the Emperor, and he just, no, no, throws him down, and it's like, just what a moment. And I love Luke. Michael went on about Luke, and I agree. Luke is could possibly be my all-time favorite character. I think he's tied a little bit, but there's nobody I ever looked for up to more than Luke, because he was my guy.
Mm-hmm.
And but in that moment, that's the Return of the Jedi right there. Anakin Skywalker's back. Yeah. The Jedi's back. Or if it's Revenge of the Jedi.
Yep.
The Sith got his revenge on Palpatine. Yep. Vader got his revenge on Palpatine. It works either way you slice it. That's what's so beautiful. And when Luke emerges in the shadows and attacks Vader, and the music kicks up and it changes a little bit, it nearly sounds like they're playing the Emperor's theme backwards, kind of. It's like the roles are reversed here. We're switching course. We're going back this way.
Yeah.
And the imagery of it is beautiful, the dialogue. Mm-hmm. And when Vader turns and he realizes, he looks at Luke on the floor, you know, just writhing in pain, nearly being killed with lightning. He realizes the same thing Luke did. Luke could become me. I don't want Luke to be me.
Mm.
So he realizes the only difference between me and Luke is choices. They both have robotic limbs and, you know, conflicted love lives. And just had to make a little joke there. But it's the imagery, the illustration of it is just, it's so beautiful. And the parallels you can draw between years later, what George Lucas was able to do with Revenge of the Sith. Gosh, I just, like you said, I could talk just this part alone.
Mm-hmm.
The throne room battle and everything that goes on could be analyzed by itself more than other movies could alone.
Yeah.
It's incredible. The lighting, like you said, where half of his face is here and the other half's here. The sabers crossing in front of the Emperor's face when he's laughing is just as iconic. And when they first entered the throne room and he dismisses the guards and takes off his handcuffs, there's a genuine look of like shock on Luke's face. Yep. He's like, well, I didn't see that coming.
Yep.
Yeah. It's very genuine. Just a shout out to Mark Hamill for his acting there and the directing of the movie as well. So
his acting in this movie as a whole, I feel like Mark Hamill stepped it up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he is. Wow. I mean, the acting is great, but Hamill's just he's up here. When you continue from the throne room to where he's taking Vader, he's trying to save him. And he just collapses and he says, help me take this mask off. Just for once, let me look on you with my own eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh. But, and then it gets you from there. He says, Luke says, I've got to save you. And Vader, with his dying breath, you already have. And I'm just like, oh. Yeah. You know, I guess that's what women feel like when they watch The Notebook, I guess. It just got me. Okay.
And some guys.
I gotta say it. Yeah. Some guys, too. I respect it. Like what you like there. But when he says, you've already saved me, and he's just like, I want to give you the funeral that you deserve. Mm-hmm. I want to take care of you because you saved me from becoming yourself. That is powerful. Like I said, Star Wars is family. And that father-son relationship that has been absent for all these movies for Anakin. He's not had it, but he's not going to deprive Luke of that and be selfish just because he didn't have it. Yeah. He's going to give it to Luke. Even if it's his dying moment, it's still worth more than anything he could have ever given Luke.
Yeah.
Boom. Just, whew.
So good.
It's great.
I love it.
Ben, man. Do you have any thoughts on that? On the scene with where Luke takes off the helmet and all that stuff?
It's so...
Or anything else, really.
No, like, but that scene is so, like, beautifully shot, too. Like, I think that that, like, it looks different than a lot of the movie, but it's, like, I don't know, it's so well done, and it, like, you know, there's all this chaos happening around them, but at the end of the day, like, you know, it's about family. I don't know how many times we're gonna say that in this episode, but, like, it really is. Like, it's about family. It is this moment that shows you, like, it's so refreshing to see Anakin again, you know? It's so refreshing to get to look into his eyes and be like, oh, it's Anakin. Like, that's him. And I genuinely love it, man. It's one of those scenes that I feel like, for me, speaks for itself. And it's just so well done. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful scene and a beautiful reunion in a way. Or it's more like the first time that this father and son have actually met, kind of in a way, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Very true.
Very true. I love it. Yeah, I love the part where I just love... you guys have kind of covered everything on that scene, but I love the scene. I love the dialogue where he says, "Let me look on you with my own eyes." I don't know, that part always gets me too. Like, oh my gosh, he's looked at you with these kind of weird eyes for like your whole, like every time you've seen him. Now that he is back, now that Anakin is back, he wants to look on his son with his own eyes one time before he passes. And it's just like so sad and so beautiful also. And fast forward to down on Endor. By the way, in the space battle, Lando and Wedge, man. Lando and Wedge are the stars of the space battle.
Oh, yeah, man.
And also Laffy guy that's with Lando.
Neen Numb. You got to have Neen Numb in there. The classic Soliston.
Yeah, I'm glad you know all the names. I'm so bad with some of the minor character names. I've always just known him as the guy that goes... But... yeah, I love the space battle is just so sick. And I don't know how much more to go into detail with that, but one thing about the special editions in these movies is there's obviously some stuff that's kind of rough. And we've talked about some of that, but in this movie, they added some shots to the space battle. They don't look out of place at all.
Yes.
They really add shots that add to the space battle. And the ones that they didn't add really hold up.
Yeah, like, seriously.
Like, this space battle really holds up well. And I love that the entire time they're in the air, they have to hold their ground because, you know, Han is taking longer to do what he needs to do to blow up to blow the shield generator on Endor. And Lando... will not back down, and he just says, "Han will get that shield generator." He says, "Han."
Han
will get that generator down. We gotta give him more time. And I love, like, he believes that it's gonna happen the whole time. He never quits. And once it finally happens, and he gets word. I love Lando's response. He goes, "I told you he would do it." And then the other guy's like,
"Yes."
I just love all that. Lando is great. Wedge is awesome. This is probably his best movie. Mm-hmm. And I love that Wedge gets, by the way, in the celebration, I'm watching it now. I love when Wedge gets a little bit of screen time celebrating with the whole rebellion. And the Ewoks. I love that he gets a little bit of love there.
Yeah.
But So, do y'all have any other thoughts on the space battle? I know we keep saying, like, it's so cool, but I don't know how much more to, like, expound on it.
I know. It's just, I mean, like, for me, I think it's the space battle, I mean, on, like, a technical level, like, the camera shots that they're doing with these, like, you know, models, essentially, and, like, all of this stuff, it's just, it's revolutionary, and it still inspires filmmakers to this day. Like, I can't tell you, like, how many times I have heard a filmmaker say, like, like how much they love the space battle of Return of the Jedi. You know, it is to this day one of the most influential space battles ever. And I think that just the way that it's shot, not just the effects used, but like the actual way that the camera moves with the ships and everything, it's so exciting, and it gets your blood pumping, and like it just really transports you to this universe.
Yeah,
I love it, man. It's such a cool part of the movie.
We can't talk about the space battle without shouting out Admiral Akbar.
Oh yeah,
and the Mon Cala fleet. Of course, the Mon Cala fleet being a huge part of the final battle.
Yeah,
I like how Akbar, he completely trusted Lando. From Admiral to, you know, General, we're talking a few different types of rank here. Lando's kind of talking back and kind of going against his orders, and Admiral Akbar's like, this is fine. I trust this guy. He's the one down there in the mess. I'm kind of watching from above. But Admiral Akbar's reaction when they take down the executor, the executor, whatever, Vader's huge flagship.
Executor.
You know, intensify the forward batteries, and the guy in the A-Wing just kamikazes that
it's
sucker.
It's too late!
Boom! And, It nearly looks like Admiral Akbar is crying during that scene, because he knows, like, that just turned the tide of this battle. Yep. And the risk they take, the tactical risk they take by turning and engaging the Star Destroyer fleet that has flanked them. Well, we'll last longer against than we will against that Death Star. And they just go after these things, and it's looking bleak. And then they take out that big one, and they're just like, we got this. Let's go. Like I said, it's visually stunning. The sound, I mean, the music of it's so great too, but it's nearly overshadowed by how great the visuals are, even on a movie that's hardly been retouched. Like you said, special edition added some things. Great. But the old stuff is just great too. Sorry, my voice got really high there talking about it.
It's so good.
The models, the blend of the practical effects and the and then the visual effects. It's like one thing that Jurassic Park, there's never been another movie hardly do it better than the original Jurassic Park.
Agreed.
And just it's like I said, the music of it and the acting is nearly overshadowed by how visually stunning. It was like Rogue One was the same way to me. That space battle, because what's great, I learned about Rogue One, it was not all CG. They used practical models and effects too. Because they knew Return of the Jedi was the quintessential space battle, so they said, let's just go back and let's act like we're doing Return of the Jedi again. Let's just do it again. And it was wonderful. And, you know, it's a trap. We have that. And it's kind of like a meme or a joke now. But, I mean, their cars were showed at that point. They were attacking the Death Star. All of a sudden, they're flanked from behind by an entire fleet of Star Destroyers.
Yeah.
I might have said something worse than it's a trap. They would have been muting my comms. It would have been bad. But I like the little detail of, you know, Falcon gets his antenna knocked off. First thing you see in Force Awakens, it's got a new little antenna. You know, Lando kind of panics. He's like, you know, he's not even worried about dying. He's like, they hit the antenna. He's like, oh man, I promise Han without a scratch. He's thinking in his head. He's not worried about dying. He's worried that Han's going to punch him in the face. And like I said, I love the dynamic between Han. Sorry, what the dynamic between Lando and Wedge and Admiral Akbar kind of coordinating this whole attack. And you have, you kind of get more look at some of the different ships of the Rebellion. You have the X-Wings. Everybody knows those. Then you get the A-Wings, the B-Wings, the Y-Wings. You see it all in this battle. And like I said, it's great. But one thing I love about the space battles, you can kind of see it in the background the whole time they're in the throne room, like little flashes and explosions, or hear little bangs, stuff like that. I'm just like, I'm thinking like, you know, the people out there have no idea what's going on inside the throne room, but the people in the throne room can see everything. Yeah. That's, you know, and you'd have to think that the people down on the planet can maybe see some booms and flashes and stuff like that too. But like I said, it's visually stunning. It's not as meaty as the throne room, needless to say, but the fact that they perfectly pulled off the throne room, space battle and the ground battle and the Force moon of Endor at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's perfect.
Yes. Perfect is the perfect way to describe it.
So from that point on, we go back to Endor. Luke has escaped. Luke has escaped the Death Star just before it blew up. By the way, I love any time we get to see Luke be a pilot, even just for a second. I love that. So like, we got to see like, oh, of course he can fly one of these things because he's Luke. This is Skywalker, and so he, we see the Death Star explode. Everyone starts to celebrate down on Endor. I love the moment between Han and Luke there. I'm sorry, Luke.
Oh
Han and Leia.
Han and Luke.
Han and Leia.
When he comes back, I won't get in the way.
Yeah. He says, "You love him, don't you?" And she says, "Well, yes." Okay. Well, when he comes back, I won't get in the way. And she goes, "It's not like that. He's my brother." And they kiss, and his face while they're kissing.
He's like thinking what all of us are. He's like, "But wait, do you?" I thought.
Wait a minute. Something's wrong here.
Oh, it's so good. But after that, it's just a pure joyful face that he does. And he kisses her back. And it's such a great moment. I love when Leia goes, I love when Han says, "I'm sure Luke wasn't on that thing when it blew." And she goes, "He wasn't. I can feel it." And I just love, you already get a sense like she uses the Force. She just doesn't really know, you know? Right. And I love that. So next we see on Endor, Luke is burning Vader's body and the suit and all that. Not much to talk about. It's just a beautiful moment. I love that they did it. I love that's something that you can see kind of being on a cutting room floor. Just like a really quick, I mean, it's like, what, 15 to 30 seconds long that they show that. And that's something that you could have seen on a cutting room floor, but they left it in, and I'm so glad they did, because it's so powerful. It's so, like, I don't know. It's just, it's such a beautiful moment. Anyway, I love that part so much. But then we get to the celebration, okay? Mm-hmm. So the music starts, and the tribal stuff starts, and then it shows these shots that were added in later. Do either one of you know all the places that they show? So I know they show Naboo. I know they show Cloud City and Coruscant, I think, right?
And Tatooine. They show Tatooine as well.
There's
a T-16 doing a little flyover shout out.
I thought it was Tatooine, but I wasn't quite 100% on it. And I was going to ask you. I figured you'd know. So they show all those, and those were obviously added in later because they show like Naboo and Coruscant. Those are prequel places.
We so free.
What if they showed the Gungans? That would have been amazing.
Oh my god.
But
there's some on top of the little building and they're like yelling, "We so free," waving flags. You just barely see them, but they're there.
Oh, they are there?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever noticed the Gungans.
That's one new detail I noticed, as well as one brand new one.
Okay, this is hot off the press. I am looking at, actually, I'm going to go there right now.
hot off the press. When you see on Coruscant, number one, they're knocking down the statue of Palpatine.
Yes.
And there's fireworks and celebrating. In the background, I never noticed it. The Jedi Temple is rebuilt and lit up.
Oh.
I don't think that's like a mistake. It might have just been from old, like Revenge of the Sith artwork. But the Jedi Temple is like rebuilt or used for something else. And it's in the background. You can see it.
Wow.
Because it kind of pans, you know, from right to left. And you see the Senate building. Mm-hmm. All the big apartment towers, and then the final, right before it stops, you see the Jedi Temple, and it's kind of rebuilt and
beautiful. Very interesting.
And the best part of the funeral scene, like you said, they very well could have cut that. Mm. But what made it so great is the soundtrack they chose for it. They go right in and they throw on the Binary Sunset.
Mm. So right, freaking just good, man.
That recurring, anytime that theme comes up in a Star Wars movie, something's happening. You know it's Star Wars if you've never even seen Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see them. I'm sorry, I see the Gungans.
You found them.
I rewound it.
It's like where's Waldo? But
I found Gungans. I found them. Sorry, go ahead.
Where's Jar Jar?
I love that you brought that up, because, and by the way, you're about to watch Rebels. Just be ready to hear that theme.
Perfect.
They bring in a lot of John Williams themes into mm-hmm. Rebels, which will probably make you super happy.
Don't threaten me with a good time. I'm all about it.
Yeah. So, okay. So we got all that. I love the celebration music. I know they changed that out for the special editions, and I know it used to be different, but I love the... and then it's so joyful. It's mm-hmm. so joyful. And you see the people from the rebellion and like the pilots and the Ewoks and 3PO dancing with the Ewoks and I love seeing the reunions of all these people we love. You see Han and Lando hug. Lando and Chewie hug. You got the reuniting of Luke and Leia and Luke and Han. It's just, and then you got Wedge in there. I love it. Even Luke and Wedge get to hug. I love that. It's just, it's so beautiful.
It's just filled with hope and fun.
It is, and that's what Star Wars is about, besides family.
It's so joyful.
And then the moment. Okay. Luke turns around and looks and sees Force Ghost Obi-Wan and Force Ghost Yoda, and then appears Force Ghost Anakin. And it's and it's so good. And I've said before, I used to wish they would have kept the old version of Anakin in there. Dude, every time I watch it, the more and more I love Hayden mm-hmm. Christensen Anakin in there. I think it's
my favorite. I think it's my favorite addition or change.
Yeah, I think it's such a good change. I think it's such a good call. I can talk about this forever. Ben, what do you think? What are your thoughts on that part? Do you have anything that you want to just talk about?
Well, I remember watching whenever I was younger and being like I remember after the prequels had come out and they had made that change, you know, and I was watching and I was like, wait. That hasn't always been like that. How did they... Like, I didn't understand the fact that they, like, released new versions of movies.
How did George Lucas know that he wanted someone that looked just like that?
Well, like, I'd seen...
Amazing!
But the thing is, like, I saw the movie before that. Like, I remember seeing a different person right there. Mm-hmm. And I was actually always really confused because I'd never seen Anakin like that before. So I was always like, wait, who's that? Who's that supposed to be? And so whenever they made the change, I remember, like, I was like, ooh, like, that's really cool. That they put, like, Anakin in there as I would know Anakin, you know? So I love the change. I really have nothing against it. Like, I get people upset about it. But for me, it's like, this is the Anakin that's most recognizable to us. And I think that it's also kind of a beautiful thing of, like, you know, all that time he had spent as Darth Vader... He can now, like, in the Force, he can kind of continue where he left off in a way. You know what I mean? I think it's just a really beautiful addition, in my opinion. And I really don't think that it deserves any kind of hate. I think it's just a preference thing, honestly.
Sure. But I think part of it probably, too, for me, I think the more I watch the prequels and the more I watch Clone Wars... the more I have an appreciation for young Anakin. Yeah. And so, like, you know, several years back watching this, I would have wished they would have kept old Anakin. Because that's...
Right.
I don't know. I used to be more of a prequel hater than I am now. And I was much more closed-minded to them. And if you don't like the prequels, that doesn't mean you're closed-minded. But, like, I was. I definitely was.
No,
I was
it definitely like... means you're closed-minded and a terrible person.
No, but I definitely was. Like, people could tell me why they loved it. And we've had him on the podcast a bunch, Brooks Parker. We used to talk about the prequels all the time. He would always defend them, and I would make fun of him. And I would be like, you're an idiot. Like, I was really close-minded about the prequels. But the more I watch those, the more I watch the Clone Wars, the more I love young Anakin and the more I feel for him. So seeing him after all that has happened, seeing Hayden Christensen there at the end, it really brings it full circle to me. It really does, and I love it. It's one of my favorite changes now. Absolutely. So,
especially for the hate that Hayden Christensen unnecessarily gets. Yes.
Amen, brother. Amen. And I will be honest, I used to give it to him. I did. I used to be one of those.
I went through a phase of the same thing, and I based it off of some very silly logic. And then my brother sat me down one day. He's like, "You're stupid," basically. My brother actually just recently joined the Outer Rim, so he's looking to get a little involved with Star Wars on Facebook. He's a very big fan, just like me.
Awesome.
So he's a character. So he sat me down. It's like, "You're stupid. These prequels are great." And I was like, "You're right." It was like a 2 month phase. It was a very short phase where I went through not enjoying them. But he set me real straight on that.
Well, you know, it's pretty funny how things just kind of evolve. As you're a Star Wars fan, like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone back and forth on certain Star Wars movies. You know, I've mentioned before, you know, overall in the life of The Last Jedi, I've been a huge fan of it. I went through a few months where I was kind of wavering back and forth, like, do I really love this? Or, like, it was starting to get to me, the tiresome debating of it and all that stuff. And, but, like, it's just cool I loved Rise of Skywalker at first, and now I don't at all. I actually really don't like the movie all that much, to be honest with you. And there's a lot of things to like about it, but there's a lot of things I really don't like. And it's just funny how our opinions, like, evolve as we have more experiences, and as we watch it more, we just feel differently. And
yeah,
that is something that has happened with me in the prequels. Like, I like those more every time I watch them. Even Attack of the Clones, I find things – it's my least favorite, but I find things to like about it. And so and I wish everybody would at least – like, it's okay if you don't like something, but, like, just, like, try to find something you like in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think Attack of the Clones is the worst Star Wars movie, bar none, and there's a bunch of things that I think are straight up bad. But I can point out at least five things in that movie that are amazing, that are great, that are truly Star Wars, you know? Even if you don't like the movie, there's things to like. And but yeah, you have to look for those. You have to have a mindset of I want to try to find something to like here.
Right.
And once I started doing that, I did. I really do enjoy the prequels more than I used to. I'm not ignoring the flaws and the problems that I have, but at the same time, I appreciate what they did, and I appreciate what it did for Star Wars, because it really did expand the world and the universe a ton.
Oh, yeah.
A ton.
Huge.
So, anyway, I don't know how we got onto that, but do y'all have any stray thoughts on the movie as a whole, or the ending, or anything like that?
I have just one.
Yeah?
Really? And it's one of the hits of those. Drew is overanalyzing this once again, which I do with more than just movies, my wife will tell you. The entire movie, Luke Skywalker, Johnny Cash, he's the man in black. You know, he's head to toe black, just looking cool. And to me, that shows he's shrouded in this mystery and darkness the whole movie that he doesn't quite understand. And he knows that it's, you know, the darkness within him. However, at the very end of the movie, when he is dragging Vader's body to the shuttle, when he lays him down, his jacket kind of like pops open. It's white on the inside. And so the whole time, I think that's more of a reflection than Vader than it is Luke, because Luke had more good in him than anything. But it kind of shows to me, like, Vader was this dark, evil character all along, but at the end there's the light within him.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cheesy, but when you look at it, it's like, man, that's, I don't know, it could have been just like a very subtle kind of a nod, kind of like little imagery.
Sure, yeah. They use imagery all the time in Star Wars, so.
It's funny that they did it more, like using Luke to show Vader, because I don't think that necessarily applies to Luke. It'd be more sense if he was wearing like a white outfit and it was like black on the inside.
Right, right.
For Luke, but the fact that they used Luke's outfit to reflect Vader, I was like, ooh, yeah. I like that.
That's so good, I like, man. That. I love that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ben, do you have any stray thoughts?
One thing I wanted to touch on real quick that we didn't touch on, but just like I wanted to give some props to just overall Han and Leia's relationship in this movie. I think is like so much fun to watch, especially on Endor. Like in the moment whenever when Leia gets shot and Han's like. Looking at her and like trying, he's like, "Oh my gosh, are you okay?" And the stormtroopers come up behind him, and she like pulls out the gun, and he's like, "I love you." And she says, "I know,
I know."
It's, I love that movie. I love that part of the movie so much, and I think the relationship brings so much fun and like so many smiles to my face throughout the whole movie. And so I just wanted to give props to that. I think that their relationship is really, really great, and it adds a really great level of heart to this movie as well.
I love that, man. I love that. And we talked about it a little bit too earlier with the, you know, could you tell Luke? Is that who you could tell?
Yeah, exactly.
But like she, I love what you were saying was like, he comes back and he actually says, I'm sorry. Like he realizes he apologizes, which is Han Solo apologizing. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And, he kind of like takes away the tension and apologizes and says, I'm sorry. And she goes, hold me. And they have a really nice moment where, like, I don't know. It really does. It really shows the growth in Han.
Yeah.
Throughout this trilogy. Picturing Han doing something like that in A New Hope, it wouldn't have happened. And so, even Empire, he was still such a scoundrel.
Yeah.
I don't know that he could have done that, admitted he was wrong or anything like that. But seeing them work as a team on Endor, seeing that moment with them, I love you, I know. I love all that stuff, and it really does show. And even to the point where at the end Han said, when he comes back, I won't get in the way.
Yeah.
He loves her so much that he just wants her to be happy. Wow. Because he was literally in it for the money. At first.
Yeah.
And now he's in it because he loves Leia so much that he would step aside for her brother Luke, which he didn't know.
Right.
But yeah, I love that. I'm glad you brought that up, because we really haven't given much thought to it today. Mm-hmm. So Drew, you have anything else?
I mean, I probably could if I really sat down and thought about it, but I really think we really dove into the good parts of this movie.
Well, we're
as I said before, that Leia is one of the best characters in this movie. Mm-hmm. She's one of the best of the franchise.
Yep.
That scene that Ben mentioned with her pulling out the gun, like, okay, I've learned a few tricks from you, Han Solo.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not a damsel in distress. I know you're worried about me, but I got it. I'm right here.
I got this.
Boom, boom. She's got him.
Yep.
And he's just like, oh wow, look at you go. So.
I just love you.
I mean, I have this movie as my number two for a reason.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the ones that I watch the most, like I said. And it's not just for entertainment. Mm-hmm. It is, the minute wrapped up, think about how good this movie does, even looking back on it. It wrapped up only three movies at the time.
Yeah.
Then they add three more movies, and it wrapped up all six of those. Then they tag another three on, and it's like, wow, it perfectly continues into those three.
Yeah.
It's just, it's bridged off in so many directions. Then you got to think about, you know, I think the dynamic between Han and Lando even ties into their dynamic that started in the Solo movie.
Yeah, yeah.
They went back and they tied it in. I like Solo.
I do too.
I've not talked about it a whole bunch. I really like it. You know, I just love this movie.
Yeah, man. Me too.
I could say that.
Me too.
I could just, for the past 2 hours, I could have just been saying, every time you'd say something, I agree, I love this movie.
Yeah.
I'd cover it. Yeah. But I love diving into the meat, and I think we did a great job of that. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, it's Return of the Jedi. Or if you just say Jedi, people don't know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. We're not talking about The Last Jedi. As much as I love it, we're talking about Return of the Jedi, if you say Jedi.
Yes.
Guys, I think that'll do it. Thank you, Drew. Thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been an absolute pleasure and a blast. And it was just so much fun talking with you about a movie I know you love and you know I love. And
mm-hmm.
And obviously, Ben, it's always fun to talk to you about it. But, dude, thank you so much for joining us. And yeah. I'm sure we'll have you back on, dude. This was so much fun.
Oh, that's the best news I could hear all day. Well, the pleasure is all mine, I guarantee you. I could just gush, sit around talking about Star Wars with people who also love Star Wars, especially when you don't see everything eye to eye. You spark interesting dialogue that way. And that's one thing that's great about The Outer Rim and the discussion group for this podcast, is you have people with opposing ideas that are just disgusting. And it's like, wow, I love your point of view. I never thought about it that way. And that's, wow. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's why we started this podcast, man. It's like we want a place where people can go to listen and to talk to each other about things that they love without without feeling like idiots for their opinions and all that. So, but yeah, so I'm glad that you enjoyed it. We're going to have you back on. Do you want to tell everybody where they can find you on all like the social medias and all that?
Yeah, I mean, if you see me in the Facebook group, Drew Miller, I'm the goofy-looking dude with the beautiful wife. you can add me. Cool. I'm mainly only active because of these groups, and I run the Facebook page for our business, and I help run a meme page. So, you know, that's the only reason I'm on Facebook. I mean, I'm on Twitter as well. If you just look up Drew Miller, my name actually on there is Ben Swolo, so I'm pretty easy to find.
That's good. That's amazing.
And, but the main place I want to shout out is A Certain Point of View discussion group, A Certain Point of View podcast, and the Outer Room Star Wars group and channel on YouTube. That's the shout out. People need to help get these things growing.
Amen.
I mean, just come join in before you miss out. We're having a great time in these groups and this podcast.
We really are.
So you don't want to miss out. So that's my shout out is these groups and this podcast. Just come join in. It's great.
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Yeah, y'all, if you are a Star Wars fan and you constantly feel tired of sharing your opinions about Star Wars and being constantly discouraged by the fandom and all that stuff, there's a lot to be discouraged about in the fandom. Yeah. I'd encourage you to join our discussion group or the Outer Rim discussion group. It's both are places where you can join and you can have your opinions, and people are going to disagree with you, but the goal is that people can disagree and have healthy communication about why they disagree.
Yeah.
Or you will find people who agree with you. I guarantee it. More people think that way than you would think. So it's just a great time. It really is. It's like honestly, and I say all the time, the best part about starting this podcast was starting that discussion group.
It really was
so fun. Ben, do you have any last thoughts before we go?
I don't think so. Watch Last Jedi.
Hashtag watch Last Jedi. All right, guys. Well, Drew, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you all for listening. And until next time, may the Force be with you.
Always.